good morning. Today is Monday, November the 16th, 320th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, the bon vivant traveler and bank dude, John Dalby. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here, yeah. I've been doing a lot of driving lately.
kind of like the Johnny Cash song, right? Which was the remake. Everywhere, man.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you start taking it all off.
I love that song. That is a great song. And I don't know how he remembered all those
big words in front of the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh boy. Our quote this morning. Oh, that's way too thick. I mean, when it says thus.
Thus.
No, we're not gonna do a thus at all. Here we go. Alfred North Whitehead. Ideas won't keep. Something must be done about them. Yeah, ain't that the truth? Okay, first question. Ham or turkey?
Turkey.
Okay. Ham is getting its pants beat off right now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So everybody's going turkey, huh?
Everybody's turkey.
Ooh, maybe I'll have to switch up.
Yeah. And, no one has said tofurkey. I know, that's a stunner to one and all. No tofu so far.
Well, and I cook a terporkin.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
So you do have ham?
No.
What do you put in, chops?
No. I have a barbecue that's in the shape of a pig. So I cook my turkey in it.
See, I was thinking
terporkin.
I was thinking like turducken, right?
Yeah.
And you're doing
exactly.
Yeah. And I can see you doing that too.
putting a turkey in a pig or vice versa.
No. Yeah. One way's possible, the other's pure theory. Oh boy. The bombing that happened over the weekend in France. Certainly, there's a lot of reaction, a lot of concern. One of the things that has been kicked around is that with the refugees and the immigrants, that ISIS is able to insert some of their folks into that whole activity. We've got some of them in America. Certainly, we've got immigrants in America also. What would happen to the financial markets if something like that happened here rather than there?
Well, it depends on what the attacks were.
Let's just fill in the blank with New York instead of Paris.
Yeah.
So it's all concentrated in one area, but six or seven events at one time, boom.
Well, first of all, I'm not an expert on these things. So what I'm going
You're
to...
You're better than Damien and me, okay?
So this is pure speculation. But with that said, I would see, at least a temporary decline in the markets. As people are unsure of the future, that type of lack of clarity, lack of security, certainly would take a hit on the markets. And I think there's a bubble there anyway, so it could be a relatively extreme adjustment to the market. And then I think
like California real estate when that bubble broke.
Very similar, yeah.
Okay, to that
yeah.
kind of magnitude.
And this has to do with QE 1, 2, and 3 when you inflate so much money into it. We've seen unprecedented growth in the stock market beyond the growth of earnings.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby, presented this morning by Redeck and CDH Painting. So, John, we never really heard what your topic was. We figured out the cooking part. We figured out the barbecue part. We figured out that perhaps projecting isn't something we want to speculate with. Well, so what do you want to talk about?
One of the things I've been asked about recently is leadership systems. And what I mean by that is, if you manage managers, how do you go about determining what is a good leader? How do you determine to measure that leadership? And how do you train it? I've gotten that question a number of times recently. So I thought we could chat about that.
So what makes a manager? I think a lot of people think competency in the task that is being managed. So if you're managing engineers, it would be an engineer. If you're managing, stock room, being an extraordinary good stock room. But I don't know if that's the case.
No, and in fact, a lot of times that's not the case. And, I can cite numbers of examples in which we have taken somebody who's very good at their craft, and as their department has grown, put them in a position of leadership for that department because they were there first. They know most about how the systems work and how to do the job, but they don't have leadership qualities. And if those things are void, the entire department suffers. So there's a
leadership qualities or leadership desire also.
Usually it's qualities. Most people would like to be a leader.
Really?
Yeah.
Even those
always.
That have been done it for a while?
Yeah.
No, okay, yeah. I'll step back.
Yeah. And they're done that. Don't want to do it again. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, a lot of guys in business that I know would love not to be the owner. Just let me do what I liked to do before.
Well, that's probably the genesis of the question that I've been getting recently is you hear it all the time. I love being in business, but I don't like managing people. You get that a lot. And part of it is because, you don't have a system for managing people. Now, I'm a systems guy, so I always have to have processes and systems and so forth, to do things. But once you have a systematic way of management and leadership, it makes life a lot easier.
And the adherence to it.
Well, that's the key. Yeah.
Well, by both.
Right.
Not only those being managed, but the management to follow up on that also.
So one of the harder questions is, what is a good leader? What is a good manager? What is a good supervisor? How do you define that? So if I ask you the question.
Oh, okay. This is not rhetorical.
Yeah,
this is.
Yeah. If I ask you the question, what makes a good manager?
Limited empathy. It exists, but limited.
How do you measure that?
Hang on, I'm still trying to come up with. There's got to be a productivity component in there somewhere. An opportunity for input and a willingness to discuss. Yeah. From the top, bottom, and from the side. And I would imagine.
Good. Those are some good answers.
Making sure that it's still financially viable exercise. To either have the department, have the business, have the management, have the staff, mm-hmm. whatever it is. It has to pencil out monetarily.
So on a macro picture, the big picture, the things that you're looking for in your business, your department, your team, that will tell you that you're doing a good job is what I'm hearing from you is high productivity, high profitability.
Not even necessarily high profitability.
Because productivity doesn't necessarily mean profitability.
Right.
Yeah. Just means you're
doing things
a lot
well. Yeah. May not be doing the right things well.
Exactly. Yeah. You might be producing a lot of unprofitable work. So profitability, productivity, high morale, and low turnover. So if you have those four things.
Don't turnover and morale kind of go hand in hand?
They generally do, but not always.
Okay.
You can be a great place to work. Everybody's happy. But they're leaving because they have certain
something's
needs
missing.
Aren't being met. So,
how about ease of recruitment?
If you have high morale, low turnover, one, recruitment's not as big as an issue, and two, you'll have more applicants than you have positions.
Unsolicited?
Not necessarily. Depends on the business you're in.
So if you let's say if you are a seasonal employer, you're going to have turnover. Because you're only there, you know, 9 months of the year, say.
Okay, seasonality is a whole different issue.
A whole different structure.
Yeah, that's a whole different structure.
Or if you're a lumber guy or a timber guy or fishing guy, that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah, most of the lumber guys, they are the timber guys, because lumber can go all year round, but timber generally is very seasonal. They have a system for people becoming unemployed during the year and you know.
Process?
Exactly. They have a process to keep them so that they come back the next year. Yeah.
Okay. So most seasonals have allowances baked into their system.
They need to.
So is there anything that we're missing?
Having never managed a seasonal business. Yeah, that's what I've been told.
I would think that would be challenging. Seasonal, not cash flow, but seasonal work related.
Mm-hmm.
Like a vineyard, yeah, it's seasonal, but you're working all year long versus, you know, a tree cutter. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from John Donovan.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby. John, so being a systems guy and knowing that we are talking to a lot of folks who are in an employment situation that, you know, we can't make too many blanket statements, whether it's the business that they're in or the area of expertise that they're in or the business that they're running or the business that they want to run. How do you start to develop generic or general enough processes that are applicable for most? I mean, are there some cardinal rules set into place to talk about, okay, how do you establish, maybe you're, let's do it this way. Your company, whether it's real or fictional at this point, hasn't had a management level tier. You have owner, you have non-owner. You don't have managers because you haven't had to.
The owner is the manager.
Yeah.
It's not, very common.
Not big enough to have that unvested position or tier. How do you do it?
Well, first of all, you can't just take any system and put it into your business because it has to fit your personality and your temperament.
So culture is a big
factor. Exactly. So what you have to do is look at multiple systems, multiple ways of doing things, read, get a feel, and you're going to adapt the things that fit, you know, your personality, your temperament, and so forth. And you need to have a good assessment, really, of what your own strengths and weaknesses are. So that
provided by yourself or by those around you?
Yes. So we've adapted, or I've adapted, you know, what I call a management wheel, and it has five spokes. And the reason it's a wheel and rather than a process, because you don't necessarily do them one after the other and you're done. You're constantly doing all five.
So like cogs on a gear.
Yes, exactly. So and they are these. Selection, so selecting good people, putting them in the right jobs. Those are two separate things and very, very important. Clarification, so that you're clarifying exactly what your expectations are. And sometimes we don't know what we really want our employees to do. We just know if we're happy if they're doing it or not. But clarifying those expectations, then train and enable. That means making sure that they have the equipment, the tools, the skills, and the authority to do their job. Then measure. Measure should be directly in line with clarifications. If I clarify it, I should be able to measure it. And the last one is recognize, and that is not an annual event. That's a daily event. Recognizing whether they're doing a good job or a bad job, and communicating appropriately.
What's the one that is the most challenging?
Generally, when I talk to business people, because using this model, I can talk to somebody who's having a challenge managing people and boil it down to what the issue is in just a few questions. Generally, the biggest area is clarification. Over and over again, I see managers frustrated that employees are doing something or not doing something, and I ask the question, well, how did you communicate what you want? And I've actually heard, well, they should know. Well, how do they know unless you've told them?
You can't just rely on previous experience.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, not everybody thinks the way you do, and so they don't have the same set of priorities. They don't have the same paradigm when they look at a situation, and so they're not going to have the same answer. So if you have specific expectations of an employee, you need to clarify those very specifically as to what you want. And then you're measuring to see if it indeed was done.
Now, isn't there a loop?
It's a constant feedback
loop. For communication,
loop.
Yeah. Here's what I want to do. What do you think? Yes, that's great. And it's on both parties' shoulders?
Let's take something very simple. Brian, I want you to sweep the floor every morning when you come in.
Okay, first thing I would say, I would ask.
So that's
okay,
that's
John,
clarification.
I understand you want it swept. What does it look like when it's done?
It's
do you
exactly.
Want 10 hours on the job, or do you want 10 minutes on the job just to get the big dust bunnies?
Right, and then I have to make sure you have the tools, the broom and the dustpan and the garbage can in order to do that. Then I'm going to measure it by coming in and looking to see if it was swept. And if you do a good job, I say, Brian, that was a great job. If you miss some spots, I say, Brian, you know, I see that you swept the floor. We missed a couple of areas. Let's see if we can do a better job tomorrow.
I'll meet you here at 5.
So, I mean, we've oversimplified it.
That we pronoun is what
exactly.
I would have. Yeah, instead of, because I would suspect a lot of folks, either there are people who confrontation is not an issue or those that avoid. I don't think many seek out. So instead of saying you, we say we to soften the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We need to. I didn't see you here. Right? If the job was good, we did a great job. Uh-huh.
Well, part of our managerial training is to talk about the activity as opposed to the person.
Sure.
So Brian.
So the floor is still dirty.
Yes.
Not you are dirty. Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
You're not a bad person. It's just it's
now would there be
the floor
people
needs to be swept better.
Would there be people pushing a broom in that scenario or me that would take it personal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Stop and think about it. If somebody said you do a really poor job, you know, you're gonna take that personally.
Missing a spot on the floor, I don't see as a.
Yeah, but if that's what you take pride in, think of it as
okay,
you take
okay.
pride in something.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it, you know, and in fact, when things don't go perfect at the bank, I feel it personally. Because,
you feel a responsibility?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And
which is different.
And it reflects on me.
Okay, so if there is a paint chip on the outside corner at the Fortuna store, and somebody points out that the paint is peeling on the building.
If I was the painter,
right,
or the maintenance guy,
or
that
the manager
would
of the store,
right. Exactly.
Okay. See, I would just take that as feedback. Say thanks for pointing it out.
Yeah.
We'll have that taken care of. Move on. I wouldn't get wrapped up in it.
No, but I'm not saying they're going to be devastated. By it. Yeah, there's a material aspect.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
but if
now when you say clarification, I would think one of the interesting challenges there is the words that are used. When you talk about personalizing, you know, a word to me may have zero emotional connotation that might get you all torqued out.
Well, put it this way. You've got to clarify appropriately. And what I mean by that is if you had a salesperson, I said, I want you to make 12 cold calls a day. Okay, they make 12 cold calls and don't sell anything. So stop and think about the behavior or what it is that you're asking them to do. So is it sweeping the floor or do you want a clean floor? One's an activity and one is a result. And so if you talk about the results, I want a clean floor, then if they use a rag or a broom, what does it matter to you?
Job done.
Exactly.
Within the time parameters established.
Exactly.
Yeah. don't break out the toothbrush.
Yeah.
We're not at that point. KINS, News and Information Time, 844. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Just a couple of opportunities for just a few gems. Finally. From the bank dude, Mr. Dalby. So, John, if you have your cogwheel, and it's got selection, clarification, training, measurement, and recognition. If clarification is the most challenging of those, where does the selection process enter into it?
You know, selection is twofold. One is it's hiring good people. And there's a lot of good people. But the second part of that is making sure that they're in the right job. Because I can hire somebody, just a wonderful person, you know, a good attitude, good skill set. But if I put them in the wrong job, they're going to fail. And I have, in my history, destroyed careers by promoting people into a position they couldn't succeed at. And so putting people in the right jobs for their temperament, their training, their attitudes, skill sets, it's very important.
Is that testing? Pre-employment testing that gets you there? The personality profile stuff? The individual knowing where their passions and competencies lie? I mean, it sounds like it's more communication stuff.
A lot of it's intuitive. For instance, you don't put somebody into a leadership position unless they've demonstrated leadership capabilities. And I tell my staff, you don't have to be in a position of management or supervisor to be a leader. Leadership is measured by followership.
Thanks for coming by. I'll follow you out the door.
Have a great day.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then. We'll